Welcome to Ask a Doctor, what your doctor wants you to know with Dr. Virgie. Over the next hour, you'll learn valuable medical tips from health policy to personal finance and medical debt management. Now listen close and welcome your host, Dr. Virgie Bright Ellington.
Today, we're starting a new What Your Medical Debt Doctor Wants You to Know segment called Medical Bill Mistakes of the Week, or AKA, you're mistaken if you think I'm going to pay this bill of the week. We're featuring the most outrageous stories of folks living in the United States who've been cost victims of the American healthcare system. And I'm going to show you how to find and fix these overcharges with the three steps to the only right way to pay a medical bill, as discussed in my book, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know to Crush Medical Debt. So there really is only one right way to pay a medical bill. It's three simple steps. And if we can run these three steps against every medical bill we come across, we can identify mistakes, protect ourselves from expensive overcharges, and potentially save hundreds to thousands to literally hundreds of thousands of dollars on health and medical care bills we don't owe. To protect ourselves, the three steps to apply to every medical bill we get is: step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. An itemized bill is an accurate bill. An accurate bill is a bill with CPT codes. So it's not an itemized bill and it's not an accurate bill unless the bill that you have has CPT codes for each service that you're being billed for. CPT codes, CPT stands for Common Procedural Terminology, which is why no one ever uses the full name. We call it CPT codes for that reason. And actually, there is a radio host who calls it, calls CPT codes, can't pay this codes. He says that's what CPT stands for, can't pay this. So CPT codes are just like barcodes when you go into a store. When you go into a store, every product has a barcode. And you take that barcode, or you take the product with the barcode and run it across a scanner to find out what the price is for that particular product. Same exact thing with every medical service in the United States. Every medical service you can think of, tests, injections, operations, procedures, office visits, every medical care or healthcare service that you've ever gotten and can ever get has a CPT code assigned to it. And so that's how providers know what to charge, right? So they have a service, it has a code, and everybody knows what that code stands for. They run it through a, just like with a barcode in a store, they run it through a system, up pops a service, and the providers determine what they're going to charge for that service. And insurance companies, whether it's government insurance or private insurance, they all use those codes to determine what they're going to pay for that service. So step one, call the provider billing department as soon as you get a bill to make sure that it has a CPT code for each service, that it's an itemized bill with CPT codes. So call the provider, pick up the phone when you see the bill. If you don't see something at the top that says CPT codes, okay, for each and every service that they're billing for, you're going to have to pick up the phone. First step, call the provider billing department and ask for an itemized bill with CPT codes. Now, some of the feedback I get and some of the things I've heard myself when I called for patients to provider billing departments to ask for an itemized bill with CPT codes, we've gotten a response of something like, well, we can't send you that kind of a bill. That's something only for your insurance. Or yes, we can send you a detailed bill and we'll send that out to you right away. And what you'll get is something, actually it says at the top, detailed bill or detailed summary bill. It's still not an itemized bill. They can call it whatever they want, but if it does not have CPT codes on the top, you know, above a long list of services, and when you go across, there should be something in there that says CPT. Sometimes it'll say CPT slash HCPCS and HPCSC. I won't bore you with that. It is a subtype of CPT codes. Usually you'll see CPT somewhere on the top of an itemized bill. If you don't see that, it's not an itemized bill and it's not an accurate bill. Always advocate for yourself and ask for an itemized bill with CPT codes. And so if you are told, oh, we can't give you that, that's something only for your insurance, it still makes me laugh when people, you know, I can't believe I heard some of these stories and some of these customer service reps in the billing department saying, oh, we can't help you with that. Okay. you know, you laugh so you don't cry, but it cracks me up, you know? So yeah, when they say that we can't send you that, we don't have that in this department, then ask a different way. Say, okay, well, can you tell me what department will give me or can give me, what department can give me an itemized bill with CPT codes as per HIPAA law requirement? HIPAA stands for Health Information Privacy and Affordability Act of, or I'm sorry, Accessibility Act, HIPAA, I'm thinking of ACA, Affordability Care Act. But HIPAA is Health Information Privacy and Accessibility Act of 1996. And it requires that every person has full access to their medical bills, their medical information, and their medical records. Doesn't matter where the bill was sent, to whom it was sent. If it was a document generated for your care, doesn't matter who it goes to, you have ownership of that. You have right to that. So they cannot tell you that they cannot give you that. So, unfortunately, you know, they're, you know, never hate a hustler, right? There are folks that are, there are systems that are still going to try it. And you have to be very firm. And when you use the term, again, quote unquote, itemized bill with CPT codes, with CPT codes as per HIPAA law, unquote. And, you know, you can say CPT codes, a bill with CPT codes, but make sure you say, quote unquote, as per HIPAA law, you're going to call and ask for that. And things change when you mention, yeah, HIPAA law. The thing is that there's no medical center or hospital center or provider that wants to catch a case for violating federal law. And there are serious fines and consequences to violating HIPAA law guidelines and regulations. So that's our first step. Call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. Step two, Google each CPT code to get the description of the service you're being charged for, and then Google what Medicare pays for that service for each CPT code. So you're going to go in, once you've gotten your bill with the CPT code, you take that code. It's usually a five-digit numerical code, a series of five numbers. Plug it in, and you're going to put CPT code, let's just say 99213. You're going to plug that in, and then out will come multiple examples of the description of the service you're being charged for. Once you find the description that seems most accurate to you in terms of what service you receive, you're going to take that code and plug it into Medicare CPT code rate. So find out what Medicare pays for that service. Google what Medicare pays for each CPT code. And the reason why it's important to find out what Medicare pays for this service is because many of the services, unfortunately, that we're charged for, the full retail rate, manufacturer sticker retail price, unfortunately, is often 300 to 500% more than what Medicare pays for that exact same service. So if it's good enough for Medicare, it's good enough for you. The thing is, there is argument by providers saying, you know, well, we can't make enough money if everybody only pays Medicare rates. Well, okay. Some people say, okay, well, we'll pay you 2 times Medicare rate, but that's it. I say that you start at what Medicare pays for that service. That's the number that you're going to start to say that's a fair number for the service that for which I've been billed, the service that I received. Step 3. Ask for an interest-free payment plan that fits your budget. Always, always, always ask and request, and don't take no for an answer, for an interest-free payment plan. There's no reason to pay interest for the care that you receive in order to get a payment plan. The thing is, even if you don't, if you have not been able to successfully negotiate down the charges to what Medicare pays for the service, either way, always, always, always apply step 3 to any bill that you get. Ask for an interest-free payment plan that fits your budget. So for instance, you might get a bill for, unfortunately, $4,000. It's a lot of money. And they're going to say, okay, sure, we don't expect you to pay that all at once. We'll bill you $500 a month until it's paid. And you know what? You may not be able to do that $500 a month. You might be able to say, you know what? The best I can do is $250. And they'll say, well, you know what? That's going to take so long. That's really outside of the timeline in which we usually like to have our bills paid. And you know what? At the end of the day, that's just a negotiation tactic, frankly, because how does it go? A little bit of something is all of nothing. And even if it takes them a long time, they're going to get their money, as opposed to something that you can't afford. Don't fall for it. Don't feel pressured into making a payment plan that's outside of your budget, even if it takes, you know, it may take 4 or 5 years to pay off. So what we're going to do is look at the crazy bills people have posted online and figure out which of the 3 steps would crush each of these bills. Step 1, step 2, step 3, or all of the above. Let's get started. So the first medical bill mistake of the week comes from Reddit. There was a person who was charged over $800 just to be told their son was dead, unfortunately, when he arrived at the hospital. And the person posted a picture of the bill that says under description, BLS, deceased on arrival. So BLS stands for basic life support ambulance. And they're saying, okay, basic life support ambulance, and the person was deceased on arrival, and they're charging $859.37. So this is the thing. Without a CPT code, you don't know what you're paying for. You are getting charged for the fact that, okay, the person was deceased when they got to the hospital, that's not the service they provided. They didn't provide the service of the person being deceased when they got to the hospital. They provided transportation. That is a description. They can talk about what kind of transportation they provided. That is an accurate description. The only way you can get an accurate description is with the CPT code. So which step do we need to apply to make sure that this bill is accurate? Step one, step two, or step three? Step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. Or step two, Google each CPT code to get the description of the service you're being charged for and what Medicare pays for each service. Or step three, ask for an interest-free payment plan that fits your budget. So in this case, we have a bill with just a description and the, you know, just words, you know, abbreviations for the person who was deceased on arrival and the charge, $859. So step one is the problem here that we can apply to address this issue. Call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. Was this an emergent transportation? I would say so. So that's what you're going to ask for. This is not an accurate bill. It's not an itemized bill. There are no CPT codes in this bill. So you're not going to pay this until you apply step one. Call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. Medical bill mistake of the week two. This person was charged for crying over their health condition. This is funny. This made the rounds everywhere on Twitter. This came from Twitter, where a person who was seeing a physician had been struggling, apparently, it sounds like, with depression and with a health issue and was really upset about it or afraid and started crying. So in addition to doing the tests for her condition, her medical condition, like a blood test, it looks like there's a bill here. It's not an itemized bill or an accurate bill because there's no CPT codes on it, but they go through and list a description of each service. And under it is a description for, quote, brief emotional behavioral assessment, unquote, $40. So this is a bill for crying, essentially, because they had to stop and what they felt was run a well-known outpatient three-question assessment, ask her three questions, ask the patient three questions to find out if they're at risk for depression. This is an inappropriate, first of all, and it's not important that the patient knows this or not, that you know this or not, whether it's appropriately applied or not. But just because she's crying doesn't mean that she needs the depression screening, but okay, it's a good start. Let them screen for it. But to charge for it is part of her overall assessment. She was there for something else. And as part of the assessment, she cries. Applying the screening was part of the assessment and workup. So we can say that she was crying for a completely separate reason. And that's sometimes an argument that some providers will make that, well, she came in for one reason and we did an assessment that includes something for something else, saying we included an assessment for depression. Well, the problem is that this really is part of the assessment that she came in for. She was upset about her diagnosis or about her evaluation or about her symptoms. She was upset about her condition. This is what's called incidental. Incidental is a fancy word in insurance world language called incidental to describe when something is part of something as part of common sense. For instance, if you have an operation, part of the operation is making an incision, right? So you cannot get a bill for the operation and a separate bill for an incision, because that is reasonably common sense part of a surgery, of the surgery, of the procedure. So you can't be billed separately. It is considered incidental, or which I say is a fancy name for inclusive to or part of the overall service. So in this case, this was incidental. And let's talk about which of the three steps is applicable to this, because this may not be pretty straightforward to folks, but we're going to figure it out because, yes, one of the three steps applies to this. Step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. Or step two, Google each CPT code to get the description of the service you're being charged for and what Medicare pays for each of those services. Or step three, ask for an interest-free payment plan that fits your budget. Well, I have to tell you, I'm just going to take it straight to the point here. In this case, just don't pay it. This is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I would not pay it. Step one, call the provider department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. That would be helpful because, you know, you want to apply each of the three steps to every bill you get, because that would let them know if you call for an itemized bill with CPT codes, because this bill, again, as a reminder, does not have CPT codes on it. It just has the date and the description of the service and the amount that's charged. That's not an itemized bill. That's not an itemized bill with CPT codes. So yes, for every bill, we should ask at minimum for an itemized bill. My point is, when you get down to step three, where you're asking for a payment plan that fits your budget, you're going to subtract out whatever you decide to pay, meaning if you've negotiated down, or you just said, okay, well, all of it seems accurate in terms of what the services I received. Once you get that itemized bill, you're going to say, yeah, okay, all of this is accurate once I've received my itemized bill with CPT codes, but I'm not going to pay for a brief emotional assessment for crying. I'm not going to pay for your service because it took you 4 minutes or 2 minutes or however long to talk to me additionally because I was crying. That's considered incidental. I'm considering it incidental. I'm not paying for it. So whatever the number is, we're going to pay that I agree to. We're going to pay that minus the $40 for crying for your quote unquote brief emotional assessment, unquote. So again, which of these steps? I would just say go straight to step three and say, okay, we're not paying for this. Now, I like to recommend that you always apply step one to every bill. Just make sure that you get an itemized bill with CPT codes for each bill you get. And in this case, once you get that itemized bill, go straight to step three. Whatever you decide you're going to pay, the amount that you feel is fair, you're going to subtract out that $40 incidental service that you were charged for.
You're listening to Ask a Doctor, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know with Dr. Virgie on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. We'll be back after this short break.
Are you one of the millions of Americans struggling with their medical bills? Now there is a way to get the healthcare you need and take care of your financial life. Dr. Virgie Bright Ellington is an internal medicine physician, and she's a determined patient advocate, helping people reduce and even eliminate their medical debt. Become a member today and discover how to free yourself from a lifetime of bills at crushmedicaldebt.com. Join the Crush Medical Debt community today. Sign up at crushmedicaldebt.com. You're listening to Ask a Doctor, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know with Dr. Virgie. If you have a question for Dr. Virgie or her guests, you can email Dr. Virgie at dr.virgie@crushmedicaldebt.com. Now back to the show. Here again is Dr. Virgie.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Medical bill mistake of the week 3. In this case, a patient was charged. This is on BuzzFeed. I don't know where they found this, where BuzzFeed found this, where they found this online. But BuzzFeed found this particular post that somebody put up with a picture of a bill where they were charged $39.95 to hold their newborn baby. Once the baby was born, to have it placed on the mother's chest as soon it was born, as it was born, they were charged almost basically just call it $40 to hold their newborn baby. So we're going to go back to the last bill we talked about where we said, okay, yes, for every bill. And this one also does not have a CPT code on it. I don't see any CPT codes on here. Although it looks like there's a column that says CPT codes across the top, but there's no CPT code listed. So this is really important. Just because it says CPT codes across the top, folks, of the bill does not mean that you have an itemized bill. There needs to be an actual code, a 5-digit list of numbers with each service that they're billing you for. So, okay. So you're going to, like in the last example, you're going to always call for an itemized bill with the CPT codes listed in them under the category of where they're supposed to be this time. 2, okay, you'll Google each CPT code to get the description of the service you're being charged for and what Medicare pays for that service. But just like the last case, this is incidental. There is no way that that part of having a baby is not a normal vaginal delivery, not a C-section maybe, but probably not, because you're in a C-section, you're incapacitated, can't really hold anything. So they don't put the baby on your chest at that point. They will show it to you, but they will not put it on your chest. But for a normal vaginal delivery, the baby comes out, they put the baby on your chest. That is part of a normal vaginal delivery. That's it. That is incidental. That's commonsensical. Let's call it in English. Incidental is a fancy name for commonsensical. So yeah, this falls under the category of just like the last one. It's incidental. I'm not paying for it. So once step one, I ask for the itemized bill, because this particular bill, even though it says CPT codes across the top, it doesn't list any. We're going to get that. We're going to ask for that. And once we determine what we're ready to pay, we're going to subtract that out. We're going to say whatever it is, minus $40, minus $39.95 for the low, low price of holding your newborn baby, of having us put it on your chest, the baby on your chest. Oh, okay. So again, just like the last case, you're going to apply definitely step one always, because this is not an accurate bill. It's not an itemized bill because there are no CPT codes listed under CPT codes. This is incidental. Don't pay it. You're not going to pay that line item. Medical bill mistake of the week, number 4. This person tweeted a documentation of a bill for having her deceased husband's organs donated. So it says, a friend of ours was killed in a motorcycle accident, head injury. They asked to harvest his organs within hours of his arriving at the hospital, which his wife agreed to. Then they sent her a $60,000 bill for the time they kept him, quote unquote, alive, and for the procedure. Yeah. So there was no medical care provided to this person. Let's just cut to the chase. You know, let's see if we can apply common sense to this. So to make sure that the provider is forced to apply common sense to the situation, you're going to do step one. The first you're going to do is call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes, because there is not going to be a CPT code for keeping him on, keeping a person on life support after they've been declared brain dead for donation, organ donation purposes. That's not a service for which the patient is going to be charged, because that's not the service that the patient was given. They weren't given the service to keep him alive. He was not alive. He was had blood flowing and oxygen given, blood flowing through his body and oxygen given through machines just to keep the organs functional and keep blood flowing to the organs. Without the blood flowing to the organs die, right? So they kept the blood flowing, but he had already been pronounced brain dead. And what you're going to do is call for an itemized bill. In this case, what the patient's loved one's next of kin is going to do is call for an itemized bill with CPT codes. And they're only responsible for treatment up to the point where he was documented as having brain death. After the decision was made to keep him on life support, that's not care provided to him. That's actually care that's provided to the recipient of the organs, or recipients, sometimes plural, of the organs. So in this case, step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes is going to get straight to the issue. This person and his next of kin should not have been billed for having their organs donated after death.
This week's joke of the day comes from Dr. Joe Braden of Phoenix, Arizona. I was going to tell you jokes about leeches, but they all suck. Send your joke of the day, and as always, please no complaints or rotten tomatoes, to david@crushmedicaldebt.com, and we'll share it on an upcoming episode. If you've gotten something out of the show, write a review or hit 5 stars on the Apple Podcast.
Are you one of the millions of Americans struggling with their medical bills? Now there is a way to get the healthcare you need and take care of your financial life. Dr. Virgie Bright Ellington is an internal medicine physician, and she's a determined patient advocate, helping people reduce and even eliminate their medical debt. Become a member today and discover how to free yourself from a lifetime of bills at crushmedicaldebt.com. Join the Crush Medical Debt community today. Sign up at crushmedicaldebt.com. You're listening to Ask a Doctor, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know with Dr. Virgie. If you have a question for Dr. Virgie or her guests, you can email Dr. Virgie at dr.virgie@crushmedicaldebt.com. Now back to the show. Here again is Dr. Virgie.
So this next bill, medical bill of the week, number 5, was posted by BuzzFeed. So in this case, someone had twins, and the bill came out to $1 million. So they uploaded a picture of the bill, and the bill is broken up into three parts. Summary of patient services for the mom, summary of patient services for baby one, and summary of patient services for baby two. And each summary, each of the three summaries lists like a very general category. For instance, the segment for the mom under her summary of patient services reads OB-GYN acute, laboratory services, pharmacy, labor and delivery, recovery, supplies, therapy services. Total charges at the end of that is more than $285,000. Okay, so what's wrong with this picture? Straight away, it's a summary of patient services. It just lists the services and the price that they're charging for each service. So that's an easy one. Straight to step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. And I give this analogy all the time. What if you went to the grocery store and you come out and you're given a bill for produce department, dairy department, meat department. And at the end of it, it says, you know, $285. Wait, what? Right? You don't know what you're being charged for, right? You can't just be charged under the category of the service you received. Yeah, you received OB-GYN services. Can you be a little bit more specific? Just like if I go to the dairy department, you know, maybe I just wanted ice cream. You know, can you be a little bit more specific? Or, you know, maybe I wanted some organic butter. Yeah, okay, that's more expensive. I'm prepared to pay a little bit more for that, but I need to know what I'm paying for. I'm not going to pay for fancy organic ice cream if I really just wanted, you know, the butter, right? So straight away at the top, the first look at this bill, we know that step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes applies here. And then the next two parts of the bill, summary of patient services for each twin, each baby, goes neonatal intensive care, therapy services, laboratory services, radiology, special services. What's that for more than $4,000? Pharmacy, recovery, audiology, total charges more than $320 for one twin and more than $420,000. Did I say $100? I'm sorry. I meant to say more than $320,000 for baby one, twin one, and more than $420,000 for twin two, baby two. So altogether, this is more than $1 million for having twins. Step one, we're going to call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. What services were administered where, you know, it's they're saying it's valued at $260,000 or $11,000 or more than $4,000, right? Step two, we're going to take each of those codes and get the description of the service they're being billed for and what Medicare pays for each service. And finally, step three, we're definitely going to ask for an interest-free, always interest-free, there should be no interest charge, payment plan that fits your budget. Doesn't matter how long it takes. It may take you 4 or 5 years, but make sure it fits within your budget. This next medical bill mistake of the week, number five, is a really sad one and a unfortunately perfect example of why we have to make sure that we find out and apply the one right way to pay a medical bill. This is why I do what I do, to make sure that we learn and start to apply the three steps to every medical bill we get to make sure we're protected. In this case, this looks like, I can't tell what platform this was on, but this was posted online and found by BuzzFeed, where a person says he got a hospital bill for his wife that wiped out 20 years of savings, even with insurance. They have insurance But he says, because his wife has cancer, the bills have become so outrageous that in 5 months, the bills have wiped out 20 years of his life savings, even though he had insurance. This is with insurance. So it says, my wife has cancer. It took 5 months to wipe out 20 years of life savings, and that was with insurance. The experience has turned me into a hateful, bitter person. We did everything we were told. We went to college, got degrees, avoided credit card debt, spent wisely, saved a nice chunk of money in savings accounts and retirement accounts, and minded our own business. The USA healthcare system took all of our savings and retirement and forced us to refinance our house so that we lost 15 years of equity. This is a country I'm supposed to be proud of. I hate this system and anyone that defends it. So, unfortunately, with cancer diagnoses, those diagnoses, malignancy diagnosis, or someone has a diagnosis that requires treatment, significant treatment, operations, radiation therapy, chemotherapy, the bills run up fast. And unfortunately, with cancer diagnoses, the problem is that many of the treatments for cancer is not something that is routine, what's called, you know, standard of care, or is considered always medically necessary. So some of the terms treatments for cancer might get from an insurance company in terms of the denial is called, quote unquote, experimental and investigational. And that's just a fancy name for not medically necessary, because they're saying there's no significant medical studies that shows that this is the number one treatment and the most effective treatment for a particular disease, in this case, a cancer. Well, the problem with cancers is that cancer diagnoses, different kind of cancers, there is no one kind of cancer, right? There are many, many different kinds of cancers, and therefore many different ways that they have to be attacked in order to be treated successfully. And that requires a lot of studies, which are experiments, essentially. All right, clinical trials is a fancy name for saying if this experimental drug or intervention or treatment works or not. And so it's an unfortunate way that insurance companies get around paying for cancer treatment. There is a recommendation that I give is that you always appeal, which is fancy insurance name for dispute, insurance denials that are quote unquote not medically necessary or experimental investigational, especially when it comes to a cancer, because there's often most of the treatments could be considered experimental investigational to some degree. So in this case, the first step that they need to do for each bill, and there's a lot of them coming in, they collect them and apply step one to each bill they get. If each bill does not have CPT codes listed for each service, then step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes. Step two, Google each code to get the description of the service you're being charged for, plus what Medicare pays for the service. So in my opinion, there is an argument that can be made if Medicare pays for the service, if it's something that Medicare applies a price to and pays for, you know, that may not be really experimental investigational. You know, Medicare is not going to, you know, the U.S. healthcare system, government's insurance plan, health insurance plan, CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, if they're going to pay for it, there's an argument that it's really not investigational, as investigational, or it's not medically necessary as the insurance company is going to want to make you believe the first pass. You're going to have to dispute it. Or the insurance language, appeal it. If you really think that this is, you're talking with your provider, your physician, if they think that this is standard of care for that cancer, please, please, please always, always dispute not medically necessary or experimental investigational denials for cancer treatment. And step three, ask for an interest-free payment plan that fits your budget, because you should never, ever, ever sell your house or take out a loan to pay for care. Ever. This hurts. It's very sad. And it's the perfect example of why we have to become medically financially literate, meaning learning the language of how to deal with medical bills. So let's say that at the end of the day, after all the asking for the CPT codes, running through Google what each CPT code to determine what Medicare pays for the service, each service. Let's say you come up with a number that you're saying, okay, this is what the services are provided, and this is a reasonable amount that we're going to pay for. We've gotten the denials for being not medically necessary overturned because our physician said it was medically necessary for this kind of cancer. So we're at step three. This is where you really have to say you're going to stick with an interest-free payment plan that fits your budget, no matter how long it takes. Because at the end of the day, the medical facility is going to save money and not having to chase you for their payment down the road, right? So a little bit of something is better than all of nothing. And because Americans are honest and we want to do the right thing, you know, we're appreciative of our providers, our physicians that and nurses that take care of us and help us, we jump and we want to pay it right away because we assume, you know what they say about assume, you should never assume, right? Because you make a, you know, out of you and me. We assume that, well, it must be correct, which is not 8 to 9 times out of 10, 80 to 90% of the time, the bill is not correct. And that they must be right. Well, maybe it is experimental. No. Talk with your provider, your physician, who wants, by the way, to help you get their services paid. And maybe the physician is not affiliated with, this isn't care provided from the physician as a solo practice, that they're affiliated with a medical center. Still talk with a physician about documenting the fact that the services that you were given are actually medically necessary and not experimental investigational for your particular kind of cancer or your diagnosis. So in this case, step one, call the provider billing department for an itemized bill with CPT codes definitely applies. Step two, Google each CPT code to get the description of the service you're being charged for and what Medicare, Google what Medicare pays for each of those services. And step three, never, ever sell your house and don't take out a loan. And don't spend your retirement savings. Your retirement accounts are protected by federal law from bankruptcy. So even if something happened and you couldn't pay whatever you think is appropriate and the facility, you know, God forbid, takes you to court to pay a number that you disagree with, let's say that is found in their favor, you can make an interest-free payment plan, even if it takes you 7 years. But let's say you had to apply for, you had to claim rather bankruptcy, at least your retirement savings is intact and your house is intact. federal law definitely always across each state protects your retirement accounts from bankruptcy. So don't raid your retirement accounts to pay for your medical bills.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. We hope we have given you some helpful tips to guide you through your medical journey. Until we talk again, have a beautiful week.